everybody, and a welcome to another episode of Horror, Blood, and Coffee. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Samantha Marie. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm doing super fabulous.
All right. And we got Derek Huey. How are you doing, Derek?
Hi.
Sounds about right.
Man, a few words. Okay.
Yep, that's it. That's his quota for today.
Silent Derek. Which I mean, when you ever listen to the show, you guys know he's not silent, you know. So let's begin by talking about this movie that we all watched, I guess, last night for the first time, The Amusement Park.
Are we calling it a movie? Is that what we're doing?
I mean, it's a movie, a short movie.
Well, I only say that because, like, a direct quote from his, former wife, even she said it was never supposed to be a movie. It was a PSA. So, I mean, even she said it's not a movie. So, I mean, who are we to judge?
I learned a lot about not growing old. Just don't do it.
That's pretty much the, I guess that was the thing, the message in the movie was that growing old sucks, you know, being an old person. But this is an old person in the 70s, right? So I guess the Lutheran commission or something,
it was the Lutheran Service Society of Western Pennsylvania is what commissioned it.
Okay. So those guys actually commissioned this PSA. And I mean, shouldn't they have known, like, don't ask the guy who did Night of the Living Dead to do a PSA about ageism?
Well, I'm thinking that, like, maybe they just didn't know, you know, small circle, maybe. Maybe he was like a director that, like, somebody mentioned, like, oh, hey, I know this little indie director guy that would probably do it.
I think in Pittsburgh he was really well known.
Yeah, but from like a church people, I just feel like church people, and, like, you know, I feel like they maybe wouldn't have known.
Maybe they wouldn't have known, probably, that
because
he was,
like, for it to be too edgy. I mean, why? I mean, and then them not use it, you know. I mean, because they did pay for it. I mean, the budget was $37,000. I'm assuming back in the 70s, like, you know, that was quite a big chunk of change.
It reminds me a lot of how Ed Wood got to make his film.
What, like what? Which one specifically? Like Leonard Glenda?
No, how he got the church to make his film.
Oh, right. So, like, A9. Yeah.
It ended up nothing like what the church wanted, probably.
I don't know if I haven't done enough research on that particular thing specifically. I do know that they hired him to make disciple movies about the disciples, but they didn't have enough money for all 12 disciple movies. So he, like, suggested, well, why don't I make a movie that will make you guys money, because it's in a genre, you know, like sci-fi films were hot then, you know. He was expecting it to make money, and then from the money they could make, you know. So maybe that was the thing, maybe in a little bit of a way, that this PSA was a way for them to, like, make money to make further, like, you know, religious movies or something, you know.
And here 40 years later, Shudder bought it and they finally made the money.
Did it? I mean,
I don't know. I just know that it's fucking 40 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. 40 years later, hopefully it made its money back, $37,000. But I don't know if the Lutheran people are getting the money for that.
Oh, like, no, it's probably going all in the foundation for Romero, I bet.
Yeah. I wonder.
I did his wife when, you know, she launched that nonprofit organization for him, that this was like their first project was to restore this.
Oh, okay. So but why would they want to, really? I mean, just to have it out there?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think her motives were probably a lot different than, like, Shudder's motives. Like, I feel like Shudder marketed this to the horror genre specifically to get people to watch it. Because I think if they would have marketed it as an actual PSA, it wouldn't have been as cool, you know, and people may have not have wanted to watch it then.
And some of the reviews are weird, saying that it's Romero's scariest movie. It's like, no.
No, yeah, not even close.
Real life. I mean, I understand that maybe some people like this movie because it's, you know, real life horror. I get that. But like, I don't know. Real life horror exists every day. Like, I don't want to watch a movie based on real life horror. I want to watch a movie that's like entertaining me. So
exactly.
Yeah. And I mean,
I feel like this movie definitely did not entertain me.
No, I was so bored, and I hate to say it because like I feel like we're gonna piss a lot of people off because they're gonna be like, well, you just don't get it. It's like, no, I get it. Like, I'm intelligent, I understand the purpose of this movie. However, I feel like it was marketed very like skeezy. Like for example, like the horror the genre tags is literally like horror, gruesome. Like all the reviews are like, this is the scariest movie I've ever seen. And I'm like, is it though?
You know, that's an interesting thought right there, was that the horror Shudder did market it absolutely like that, you know. I saw a bunch of things saying it was scary, it was terrifying, all this shit. I watched it and I was like, you know, the only thing I'm terrified is of being bored. You know,
I thought there was a few cool parts. I thought the beginning was really cool. And I thought that like the distance from reality was pretty cool. Like how he entered the door, you know, talking to himself and then he leaves. I knew it was going to patch it up to the ending, but I thought that was really cool. How you just see him exit the door and then they show the other side. And, you know, it just shows a door in the middle of this amusement park that he's just walking out of.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also I did like the idea of the loop, you know, that the guy comes in and he's asking the questions or whatever. And then but it was so strange. Like, it was such a bizarre, like, scene to begin with. I mean,
but
it was like
really cool. Like, you see the optimistic, the happy-go-lucky version, and then you see it quickly change. Like, I thought it was kind of cool in that sense.
Yeah, it showed like the scene where he walks in and he says, aren't you going to go outside? You should go outside. I'm going to go outside.
So he kind of reminded me of the creator of Jurassic Park. I was like, you got to look like him.
For me, it was Colonel Sanders.
I got Colonel Sanders.
And then when they gave him the fucking chicken, I lost my shit. I was like, yeah.
Do you think that was on purpose? Do you think?
Probably not. Was Colonel Sanders a big thing in that movie, like in that day?
In the
70s? We gotta remember this was in the.
Yeah.
He was Colonel, so probably. I don't know. All I know is it was hilarious. Like, I just kept watching the downfall of Colonel Sanders.
So I thought, okay, so this movie was shot over 3 days. And like I mentioned earlier, for $37,000, I thought it was very funny because the main guy, Lincoln Mazzell, he died in 2009 at 106. Okay.
Damn.
Also, he didn't start his career until he was 56. So I think that's funny that he's like in this movie about ageism when he didn't even start his career until he was old.
Yeah. It's true. It's funny. Acting is probably one of the only careers you can start when you're old, even women or men, you know. A lot of people say women. Like, what?
Yeah, because there's roles for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, they may be very limited, but they're still there.
And you may not get like super duper famous, like Meryl Streep started young, you know, that's how she got famous. You know what I mean? Like she didn't get famous when she got old. And there's only few people who get more famous when they get old, you know, but a lot
of my thing about the movie is I enjoyed it for what it was. However, the horror lover in me did not enjoy it as a horror movie. So like, I feel like I could kind of separate myself a little bit, I mean, it was very interesting. And like, I was trying to think of like how I would feel if, you know, I was alive in the 70s and watching this. Like, it probably was like hardcore for that time. But however, it was released in this time. And yeah, I just don't think it held up.
I think it's a little bit relevant, the message. And what I think is, I think it's really cool it exists. I think it's really cool somebody found it and brought it to light. I think that's pretty badass, and they fully restored it.
Well, his wife said that it was never lost. His wife claims that, you know, everyone's claiming that it was lost, that, like, you know, long lost Romero, but she's had it all along. Like, right. It was never,
bitch.
It was never lost. Another marketing scheme that people are using to attract more attention to it.
Sears is waiting for the highest bidder.
Right. So here's the thing. I honestly thought it was terrible because I didn't get a lot of stuff in it. You know, like, what was up with that woman calling the doctor or whatever, like, and not getting the doctor? Like, what was the point of that? Cause I thought we were following this guy, you know, not.
Well, the point of that was just to show that, you know, this elderly couple needed help and like the doctor was like too busy for them. And then
nobody helps.
Yeah. So it ties into the whole movie that nobody helps the elderly ever, because then she needed like a coin and nobody would give her a coin. So, I mean, the whole movie was just geared towards, you know, the elderly being like forgotten and not thought of.
And not getting the health treatment that they need. They just sort of get cycled through. Like, whenever you see them go in and they just say, oh, here's a Band-Aid. He's like, but I'm not well.
Yeah, but like,
here's my problem with that, was that if we're going to do a PSA, right, and we're going to talk about ageism or whatever, they needed way more narration in it, explaining things, because the whole point of PSAs, and I get Romero trying to do something different, you know, with the PSAs, but the problem is you can't, you know, like, PSAs are set to be a specific thing. So when you do a PSA, you have, you know, Johnny is going to the doctors. Johnny is sick. Johnny is, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, like, we show these things happening, right? You know, but there needs to be a lot more narration. There needs to be, if that lady is Margaret, you know, Margaret is trying to go, trying to call her doctor. Her doctor is not listening. I needed more of that for it to feel like a real PSA.
And also, this was Romero in 1973.
Yeah, we got the more surreal approach. Like, remember the, what's everybody's opinion on the bumper car scene?
It was so, yeah, that was definitely like the more surreal and weird, you know, because I was like, wait, she's a cop is coming to a bumper car? Like, what is going on here? You know,
this movie was strong. Like, I mean, I get it. I understand it. I mean, you know, they had to, it was called the amusement park. So, I mean, obviously they had to like make everything kind of happen in the amusement park, except for that elderly couple, like you said, wasn't in the amusement park. So that was, I mean, that was a little weird.
I mean, I might be wrong, but wasn't that the future of the people in the amusement park?
Oh yeah. I
didn't get that. You know, people had said that in reviews, and I didn't get that because I felt like that psychic bit was just too fucking they needed some way to transition into the future, you know, because it just felt like it was the same day, you know, it didn't feel like the future.
Yeah. You know? So, well, I did find a way to tie it to horror, if you're interested.
Sure.
All right. So it was shot in a park called Westview Park. Okay. Mm-hmm. Westview Park was created by Theodore Marshall Harton, who was inspired to open up this amusement park because he worked at one of the giant Ferris wheels in Chicago, Illinois. In 1905, he leased 18 acres for $3,000.
Nice.
Probably a lot back in the day. But in 18 acres of land, there was a swamp. Guess what the swamp was called?
No idea what. That's
Lake Placid.
Nice!
Boom! Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So anyway, so the guy died. He left it to his brother, whose his brother's name was George. And then George died also. And then the park was eventually closed and turned into a shopping plaza in 1981. And that is my tie to horror.
Well, there you go. Hey, it was a shopping plaza, much like Dawn of the Dead.
Exactly. Dun, dun, dun. I'm really reaching for this movie. I like, there actually is not a lot. I mean, other than like user review, or like people like reviewing it, there's not that much information released about this movie.
Yeah. And okay. So I want to go into like little specific scenes that I thought were, you know, cause Derek was mentioning ones that he thought was good. I thought it was really funny that the old man was trying to chat with the kids. And then this guy was like, "Get away, you sick man." And everything. He was like, "I'm going to kick you out of the park." And I'm like, I mean, it like, especially today, an old man can't do that, you know?
I know. Very accurate of like today, though.
Yeah. Like back then in the 70s, it might have been okay for like old people. Like old people were never like seemed as like really, you know what I mean? Like maybe it was sort of supposed to be made for the future, you know? Yeah.
Maybe old people were always pervy. I mean, the joke, I mean, the scene had to come from somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I mean, born in this. I mean, we don't have any experience in the 70s, so who knows?
Yeah, I was born 82, so I wasn't even alive in the 70s.
Not like your grandpa's going to be like, "Oh, yeah, we were all a bunch of pedos."
I thought it was weird, though. I was expecting it to come back whenever he started reading the girl the book, but it never came back, so... So yeah. Nobody beat him up that. Oh yeah, that reminds me. What about the teleporting gang that beat him up?
Yeah. Hell's Angels.
Yeah, they came up and they beat the shit out of him. Now that was like a little horrific, you know, like that felt like a George Romero scene.
I mean the jump cuts or the teleporting, that was weird.
Yeah.
And they were just like, "Over here, psych, over here, closer, in your face."
Yeah, well, I mean, and it was even weirder because they were in different positions each time. So they teleported and they're like, "Boop," and like, "Boop," you know, like it was just so strange.
It was a 50 chance they would have beat the shit out of them. Another 50 chance they were going to like turn it into a musical.
Right. Or like 50 chance they're gonna have like a dance off or something.
Yeah, that was like crazy about to happen.
I know. It was, you know, it was that scene just like made me go, okay, like I can see the little horror elements in that, but there were like some scenes where I'm just like, what in the world is going on? Like there's some younger guy who's like with a cigar who's eating food, and then like he sits down and he's treated like shit. The old man is treated like shit, but the guy with the cigar has to like turn his back on him.
It was pretty in your face about how the wealthy gets more.
Yeah, and like the wealth. But although that guy was old too, but whatever.
That's what I thought too. Like he
looked old to me. But so the wealthy guy was like grossed out that he had to be in the presence of like non-wealthy old people, because that's like why like they turned him around so he didn't have to like see them anymore.
And then he got the extravagance,
but that's not well. I feel like some of that wasn't ageism, that was also like, you know,
wealthism.
I mean, I guess it had a few different, you know,
well, yeah, and also talked about and how like certain people treat other people, because there's the scene right after where he lets all those people like eat his food for him, you know, or whatever, you know, which I thought was a little weird, but.
How do you think the Lutherans felt about the church turning him away whenever he was going to the cross, and then the guys just were like, "Nope, later, peace." they wanted that in their PSA, the church turning somebody in need away.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was another reason they didn't put this out, you know, because it's not very Christian, you know.
Which, I mean, it's pretty bleak. Like all of it was pretty. It's pretty dark, I guess you can say.
They should have kept it though, because in all reality, a PSA. I mean, you know, as a PSA, that's, I mean, he did do his job. I mean, if it would have stayed out, I think it would have actually opened up maybe a lot of people's minds, but I think it was shelved because like the people that shelved it probably were guilty of doing that. So they're like, oh, I think it was like too personal. Rid of this shit.
They probably saw the pedo scene and were like, well, you know how all us people are pedos.
Right. They're like, oh.
Look, so here's an interesting thing. So at my church, back when in 96 or 7 or whatever, when I was out there, I had to watch this short film, this short Christian film called The Appointment. And it was literally about a girl who was not a Christian and died from a serial killer and went to hell. And the serial killer asked for forgiveness from God and went to heaven.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
You know, yeah, and I was just like, I was like, I don't know what, like, because that's like dark Christian shit, you know. And I was like, that seems like that would be written from like somebody like George Romero, you know, like, you know,
Christian, like, hey, you can do whatever the fuck you want, just ask for forgiveness, it's fine,
as long as you follow the call and believe in God.
Yeah, you can kill people, you can do whatever the fuck you want, just ask for forgiveness. Yeah.
What a crappy message, though. I mean, that literally pretty much just says like, hey, you know, go do whatever you want to people as long as you ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was kind of a fucked up. I did not like that video because I was just like, you know, even though I'm a Lutheran, which is funny. I am a Lutheran, actually, guys. But I'm not, you know, I'm not like a, you know, quote unquote, like churchgoer, you know, like I believe in, you know, my own personal spiritual beliefs, you know.
Right.
But I also believe that, you know, I was kind of grown up where in a house where, you know, you're open-minded and allowed to think for yourself, you know.
Right.
And so this kind of shaped me into a person. That's why I do horror, you know, because I can't, you know.
Well, thinking for yourself is very unchristian, like Moody.
I know. That's what people think, but you know,
how dare you.
But my you know, my spiritual beliefs are that I, you know, that I do, I don't do, like, I wouldn't kill somebody and then just ask for forgiveness. My personal belief is don't do that, you know, try not to. If you do something fucked up, yeah, you can ask for forgiveness, but don't expect, like, you know, that that's just going to change everything.
Right. And then always know? Remember, there's no crime if there's no body.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. So,
all right. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
That was our PSA for the day.
Yeah.
honestly, so we're going to go into talking about another review in a second. But I want to wrap this up. Was there anything that we didn't discuss in this that we feel like we need to like lay out? Because I think we almost like covered this up in like 30 minutes.
Yeah. Like an ADHD year. Yeah, we covered everything. Just a little bit all over the place, but yeah, no, I mean, I would say as a horror movie, hated it, but as a PSA that was like dark and gritty and you know, in the 70s, I mean, I thought it was decent.
I thought, okay, so I said it was terrible online and people quit like nuts on me. Some people really, really, I mean, and the funny thing is then some people are like saying, oh my God, thank you for actually saying that, you know, because so many people are praising it.
Because yeah, they're hit or miss. I mean, either like people love it, but also I think we are in that society now where like, you know, people jump on the bandwagon and I think people like, you know, George Romero fans, they're like brainwashed people who would like anything, you know, like if he had like a toilet paper with poop on it, they would like be like, oh my God, it's the best toilet paper with poop on it ever.
I think people just went way too crazy because it was promoted as the long lost movie.
Yeah.
So people got way too hyped up. And like, even now that it's out, they're still like, they're like, holding it on this pedestal that I don't think it deserves to be on.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm happy it's out there. Movies should never be, you know, like sealed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was never lost, I guess, but they should never be sealed away. I think they should be thrown out there for everybody to enjoy.
But these diehard Romero fans are literally attacking people. I mean, they're like, you know, they're not happy when people don't like this movie.
Actually, I disagree with you, Derek. So I'd love to get into a discussion with this on you with you.
Oh,
but,
Lord. Maybe but, later.
No, maybe. But here's the thing. Oh, yeah. Here's my disagreement is that I feel like all movies shouldn't, if the movie is terrible, right? Like god awful, it shouldn't be seen. I know people worked on it and everything.
But who judges that?
And how can you say that being an indie land?
Yeah, who judges if a film's god awful? Something that's quality to me will not be quality to you. It's so subjective. That's why I don't think movies should be lost through time. Like, because back in the 70s or 60s, they would just make movies, put them in the theater, and then they'd get rid of the print. That was about it. Like, fucking, like, even Herschel Gordon Lewis was, like, shocked that, like, his movies were on DVD. He's like, what the, like, this is not how we used to do movies back in
right.
the day.
Well, like, you might be right. All right, all right. I'll agree with you now. You know, yeah. you changed my mind.
I made a good point.
That was a quick change of the mind.
Well, no, and no, because I mean, look, my because what you said right there that made me change my mind was that you said like who's the judge, right? So say the director makes a movie and they are not happy with it, right? You know, but then you look at somebody else who goes, "Oh my God, that was amazing," you know, right? Like somebody might like it, you know.
Exactly.
So. I mean, there are people who make movies, and we know a few who make movies that we wouldn't watch, you know, but somebody else might like them. So why not? They get released anyway, you know?
Exactly. Just release all fine. We're used to it.
Yeah. I mean, in Indie Land, you get a lot. I mean, you get people who just make movies. I mean, sometimes all it takes is, and Derek would know this, all it takes is a good editor to fix something, you know?
Yeah, you could ruin. I recently had a film and it was edited very poorly, and they did nobody a favor in it. I watched it and I was like, wow.
Well, and also here's the thing too, is like I think a lot of people are so sensitive these days, because like I mean we could even make a movie and it suck, you know? I mean, it's okay. Like, I mean, yeah, you get the credit for making the movie, like that's awesome. Like finishing a movie is hard, but you know, I mean, if it sucks, it sucks. Like, I think people know that their movies suck, but I think it's just, you know, everyone's so sensitive these days that they just get mad about it and jump on the defense. And it's like, it's okay if your movie sucks. Like, you still made a movie that's still awesome. I mean, was it the greatest? Like, no.
Let's just all own it. Here's the thing. I went to like HBO Max, started promoting Conjuring. And I guess because I watched Conjuring on HBO Max, it, you know what I mean? So it promoted it. So I looked down and one person goes, "This is the worst movie I've ever seen." And so you know what my response to it was? I wrote to him under him and I go, "This is the worst movie you've ever seen? So this is like worse than, you know, Glitter or Honey or Geely?" Or right. I was like, "Have you ever watched any other movie in your life? Like, this is not the worst movie you've ever saw, I guarantee you." You know, right? And I'm tired of that. Like, this is the I think I've gotten that on Scary Story Slumber Party. Somebody said this is the worst movie I've ever seen. I looked on that guy's thing. What
if it was though? What if like Conjuring to them or Scary Slumber Party to them was in fact probably what they felt was the worst movie they've ever seen?
Maybe they just don't watch a lot of movies.
I know. Maybe the only movie they've ever seen. They've seen two movies, Conjuring 1 and 3.
Well, I agree with what Moody's trying to say. Like, everyone's just so quick to say, like, you know, like, I know when Moody asked me before this podcast, he's like, "Well, what did you really think of the amusement park?" And, you know, I didn't say it was the worst movie I've ever seen. I said, well, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. Like,
right.
I think it'll be a little bit more objective too about like our words. Like, I mean, why do we have to say this was the worst movie? I mean, I bet if you would go under that username and look at other reviews he did, that probably wasn't the only movie that he said that was the worst movie he's ever seen.
There's this guy who wrote a bunch of movies on Amazon and just says worst movie ever.
Yep.
And so they've hit a few of my movies.
They've hit my movie too. They've hit Dustin Hubbard's, and Dustin actually proved that that movie, the movie that he had, I think it was a Ouija Mummy, right? He actually, they put worst movie ever, right, on a Ouija Mummy. And then, but he had done it before it even came out. You know,
I mean, but I have seen parts of a Ouija Mummy, so maybe he might be on. It was really bad. It's on TV.
I mean, also though, if you're reviewing something by saying this is the worst movie ever, I mean, is that really like, it's not even a good review. Like, I mean, I don't know. That's not a review. That's just like a clickbait, like, you know, click to like, okay, read this. Quick.
The first movie that can come to your head that's the worst movie ever. Go.
I don't know.
For me.
Yeah, see, I don't know that to me. I'm like currently cycling all the movies that I didn't like, but like it's hard for me to say worst movie.
I can't even decide that because I have seen a lot of terrible movies.
Well, and also we're horror fans, and I think all horror fans have, like, we know that there's different subcategories. Like, you can even have like movies that like you hate, but like you still secretly like about it. Like there's something, you know?
Okay. I've got it. And Actium Maximus, War of the Dinosaur or something or other. I forgot what the full title is, but it's one of the movies we watched for Indie Film Cafe. I should have given it a 10, you know, out of, you know, cause we do the 10, you know, whatever 10 is the stinkiest, should have gotten a 10. I give it a 9.5 because I thought Paul would not give me a 10, for the first episode back on season 2, but no, I should have gave it a 10. It's literally still on my least favorite movies of all time list.
Yeah.
So there you go. And it's a Troma release.
If it's not from Lloyd Kaufman himself, 95% of the time it's gonna be trash.
Yeah, unless it's like a movie like Cannibal the Musical where they were lucky that they got that, you know?
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. So what's our rating for this? We do a grading system where we go A to F, like school. And so I honestly, I'm gonna start and I'm gonna say a C. You know, I'm not going to give it like a lower than that, but I think it's just average. I think it's okay. Maybe it's not as terrible as I act like it was, but it's not, you know, amusement park is just sort of boring.
I'm going to find it hard to rate it because, like, honestly, in my mind, I don't consider it a movie. Like, I feel like it was a PSA. Like, it was a PSA. It should have been a PSA. So, I don't know. I don't know if I can rate it because I feel like it's not fair. Like, for me to, like, rate it as a movie, I feel like it's not fair. Because, honestly, me rating it as a movie would probably be pretty low.
I feel like you could rate a PSA, like Stoner Slot.
As a PSA. No, as a PSA, I would probably give it a higher rating. But as a horror movie, it would be a low rating.
So as a movie in general, I would say a C.
As a
PSA, I'd still give it a like C or D because it didn't have the PSA type stuff. It's like it didn't feel like a PSA to me. Like it felt, even though it had that beginning where explained, and then he said that all of them were not actors, they were volunteers. I'm like, how do you? That's bullshit. He told them what to do. They're actors, you know. They were not volunteers.
Yeah. I'm not saying they weren't paid. He's not saying that they're not trained professional. They're volunteers who are doing this for the first time.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you announce a movie on Facebook and you have like everybody's like, oh, I want to really be in it. And then people just like give parts without auditioning people. Like, that's what it's like.
Right.
Okay, so as a movie, I would give it like a D. As a PSA, I think I would give it like a B.
I'd give it a D. There was too many people looking into the camera.
That's true.
But we just explained though that they weren't trained actors.
They should have probably. You should have probably asked the church for more money.
And also, I mean, I think maybe because I know I read a lot about him saying that it looked cheap and it looked the way it looked on purpose. So maybe that was part of the gimmick, is he wanted people to look in the camera.
I give it a D. He looks like Colonel Sanders. That makes it a C. But then it gets a D again. So.
You know what would have saved it? Is if that guy in the end would have turned into a zombie. I'm just saying. It would have saved everything for me.
But remember the waiter who was serving the guy smoking the cigar? What the fuck was up with his giant crayon? I give it a D. D for giant crayon.
There was a lot of weird fucking shit in that movie. But yeah, so anyway, all in all, I thought it was blah, you know. So, but I will say I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad that it exists, that people can watch it, you know, and people who love it can watch it over and over again if they really want to. I'm not, once again, also, this might have been a thing where I'm just not really into 70s, you know, I'm not into the 70s, you know, time period, you know, like. There's very few 70s movies that I like. I think Willy Wonka is one of the only ones, you know? Like, I'm just not into that.
Right.
No love for Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Actually, I mean, the first time I watched it, I got so bored, you know? But when I watched it years later and everything, I had a lot more respect for the shots and the cinematography and the just the tone, you know, that movie. So yeah, I will say there are a few horror films in the 70s that I liked, like I do like Jaws, you know. So I mean, but I'm just, that time period just really was not my time period, you know.
I think 70s was the beginning of the great horror to what I think would be great horror movies. 70s was the beginning of it. 80s carried it. And it sort of blossomed in late 80s, early 90s, sort of.
And now I feel like we've kind of lost.
And now it decayed. It's went on so long, the golden era has turned to shit.
Yeah, now we're just a bunch of remakes and reboots and refarts and re-everything. It's like, okay. Right.
Well,
we get it.
It's that, and it's also like cheap scares, jump scares, you know, and things like that, which I guess we'll be talking about, segueing into our next review.
Bum, bum, bum.
The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, Conjuring 3, which you guys both saw in the theater. Lucky you. I still haven't gone to the theater.
Fuck,
you didn't see it in the theater? You saw it on HBO Max as well?
Yeah, we saw it on HBO Max. Go to the theater.
When I didn't even remember watching this, to tell you that. Was it recently?
It was pretty recently. I didn't like it, so I don't remember how. Like, I remember it, but like, I don't, like, there's no details that I'm gonna be like, oh, that was great, because it's all wiped from my mind now because it was so fucking bland.
I actually liked it.
I liked it more because I felt like it was, I mean, obviously it's a different director. So that's why it had like a different feel. I appreciated it because it didn't have the, you know, the dumb jump scares that Juan's famous for. But
it did have a few of those. I mean, I was kind of disappointed by that.
It had a few, but it didn't have like the, you know, in your face, like the trailer is going to ruin everything for you. But I liked the different feel, and I liked that it wasn't like the first one or second one. It was different.
It felt like they were trying to become it like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Warrens are fucking like the superheroes.
Well, yeah, but that's not him though. I mean, that's just like how they're doing it. That's not the director. It wasn't this movie. It's like,
well, this one, I felt it more than ever. They felt like superheroes. Like when he broke the fucking, or like, oh my god,
it is the Conjuring universe though, like that. Well, is a thing
first, but they're making it feel like it's a Marvel universe and not like its own thing, you know, like they could join next to Constantine and start fighting evil together, you know, and I'd be like, oh,
well, I mean, yeah. And so that kind of like was a big thing when she like held the things, you know, the corpse's hand at the morgue, and all of a sudden she could feel the power, the feel the presence of everything. So like, yeah, I get the superhero aspect of it, but that actually, I know I'm into Marvel. So like that shit was kind of cool to me. I don't know. It felt kind of neat, you know?
I find it, the only thing I find it is it's hard to keep track of what, like I was trying to like wrap my brain about The Conjuring 2. And I swear I was like thinking that it was a different movie in my head entirely. And I think it was like one of the Annabelle movies. I don't know. It's hard for me to keep track of all of them because yeah, they are all kind of like in the same universe and like the nun and I don't know. So I mean, I enjoy it, but for me, it's like, I need like a map. Like I need to sit down and like write them all out because they all kind of like blend together to me after a point.
Well, this movie was directed by Michael Chaves, who I think that's how you say, I thought it was Chavez, you know,
yeah.
But somebody actually pronounced it as Chaves. So I'm like, all right.
They don't sounds way cooler.
What? Chavez?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, was also the director of Curse of La Llorona.
Yeah. Let's not hold.
Well, no. Right. And which I actually turned off.
And you hated that movie when we watched it.
Yeah, but it had the chick from, what was it, Freaks and Geeks, I think.
Yeah. It had Linda Cardellini, which was the biggest part of why I wanted to watch it, who, if we want to connect it to Marvel, is actually Hawkeye's wife in the Marvel movies. So yeah. There you go. But she, you know, the problem with Curse of La Llorona to me was that it was just sort of, like, I didn't get the connection to the Conjuring universe. So it felt like a separate film to me, you know, even though it is supposed to take place in the same, I guess, universe or whatever, you know, I don't know. I just felt like it was kind of, it was one of the most boring of all the Conjuring universe movies, you know?
Yeah, I totally remember a lot of the movie. I was so bored, so.
Yeah. And so he directed this one and I thought he did a lot better, you know, cause I was scared because I was like, oh shit, it's the director of La Llorona. I don't like, but maybe it's the writing, you know, maybe it had a lot to do with the writing. I thought the writing for this one was pretty decent. Let me go into talking about real quick. This is actually based on a real murder case that was, the first court case that ever like said like the devil made me do it, you know. So it was the first demonic possession you know court case in the United States. Apparently they mentioned in the movie that like England had two cases and both of them had been, you know, nobody had ever won this case, you know. If you look at the real thing and the real court case, the guy killed his and got drunk at a bar with his landlord and killed him, right? Mm-hmm. And so he said he was possessed by the devil. Now, was he possessed by the devil or was he just blacked out drunk and he murdered his, you know, and now he can claim, oh, I was possessed by the devil.
Well, he was convicted. I mean, he was sentenced. He was first degree manslaughter. So they didn't buy it. But however, he did. So he was sentenced to 10 to 20 years. He only served 5, though. So... Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he was, you know, they didn't believe it, you know,
right.
Which I thought the way that they ended the courtroom scene where they don't show the judge saying you're guilty, you know, they just kind of cut to the thing. And I thought that was pretty cool. I really enjoyed this. I liked it a lot more than Conjuring 2. I don't know why Conjuring 2. I think Conjuring 2 bored me too much.
One. I mean, it's like the same story, just different people.
Right. So I think it was neat that they had another director come in. They had another story. I don't think any of this was actually true. You know, I don't think Ed and Lorraine actually went on to investigate, help some cop somewhere, find a dead body of somebody and then go to the morgue and break in the morgue. I think all that was untrue, you know. I didn't do enough research to figure that out, but like I'm guessing that was just added for story, you know, because like literally if they just have them as witnesses to that murder case, it's kind of boring, you know.
Well, I mean, it depends on if you think everything, if it is true at all, because like I read an interview between one of the family members of Arnie, and one of the family members said that he was not possessed, he had mental illness. and that the Warrens came up with the whole story and promised them that they would get, like, you know, all this money and become rich and famous. So, I mean, you know, family members of them say that the Warrens are full of crap.
Right. And a lot of people say that anyway. What were you saying? You say you believe it?
Yeah, I believe that they're full of shit and that they abuse people and just like, yeah, I believe it completely.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say anyway. If you look at a lot of people like that are actually into the paranormal and supernatural stuff or whatever, a lot of people hate the Warrens. And it's interesting that Hollywood would pick two people that are pretty much, a lot of people just don't like them, you know?
Well, especially since in the first movie, that's like totally not how it went in real life with the Warrens. In fact, the guy got punched in the face by the actual husband who the first movie was about. For trying to, you know, fuck with his family or whatever. Like, they hated the Warrens.
But, I mean, were they smart? Because I feel like you get a lot more energy when you are dealing with somebody that you hate rather than love. Like, I mean, maybe it was a very calculated part on Hollywood to use somebody that people kind of hate because it just generates more energy and more people will talk about it negatively because people love talking negative about things more than they love talking positive about things. So maybe it was very calculated and they did it for a reason.
I just think they were the most well-known. Exactly. The most sense. That's why
they made the most profit off of them.
Because they're the most well-known, so there's more people to hate them.
Yep.
But they're also liked by some.
Yeah. And so was it, I guess Lorraine passed away in 2018 and Ed had passed away in like 2006, I want to say, something like that. So they had both, you know, they've both been like, well, you know, Ed's been dead before they even did the first Conjuring movie. Lorraine, you know, I guess was a part of, and I saw this documentary that's actually on YouTube that Warner Brothers put out. It's a 15-minute little featurette that has talks about Ed and Lorraine, and it's pretty interesting. I think you guys definitely, I forgot what it's called. But if you look up, you know, Warner Brothers and look up these, I'll try to put a link to it in the bottom.
Well, what's interesting is Sam and I were watching a documentary on Saw 4, and you won't believe how much, like, the Saw movies are just like indie films behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And they're like fucking being like, oh my God, we're so far behind schedule, and I don't know how the fuck we'll ever make it. Than just like stressing the entire time.
Exactly. Well, that's cool because I mean, the first Saw was an indie film, you know. I mean, absolutely. The rest of them, I think, are sort of like, even though they're Hollywood, they're sort of still filmed like indie level, you know.
Yeah, we watched every single movie in a row, like whenever the newest Saw movie came out. And holy shit, that was bad.
Yeah, you know, you kind of forget, like, when you watch Saw when they come out, like, back in the day, like, you forget because, like, you know what, it was, like, a year or two or so in between each one. So, like, gives you time to kind of, what? Are we not even charged? Oh, hang on. It gives you time to forget, like, how shitty the previous one was. And I think you go into it like, oh, it was, like, the greatest movie ever. And so when you watch them back to back, you're like, oh my God, like, what was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And no, even then, the horror got worse somehow.
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck was that even possible?
Which one?
And just the Saw movies, like the gore and the traps just got lamer and less gross.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they ran out of ideas. I mean, after a while.
Well, I mean, ironically, I think they're waiting to see the success of Spiral because they're still talking about doing, like, you know, because Spiral isn't a Saw, you know, they're saying it's not a part of Saw, so they're going to come out with another Saw that kind of.
Wait, weren't they saying it was part of Saw before?
They're saying that they're going to make more Spiral movies and more Saw movies.
Yeah, but they're not. Yeah, they're not together. They're separate. They're their own separate identity or something.
Hey there, doctor.
God.
That's how the saw voice. I don't know if you saw Spiral.
Have you seen Spiral?
I have not seen Spiral yet.
But he's seen. You've seen a trailer though, right?
I have. I
shows how they sent how the guy sounds, and he sounds comical.
It's been a while since I watched the trailer, and honestly, the trailer didn't grip me, you know, wanting to watch it. And then I was like, I'll wait for reviews. And I've heard so many bad reviews of that movie, you know?
I mean, it's not the greatest, but you know, I think some people didn't like it because they just didn't want to see Chris Rock in a serious role. But I mean, Chris Rock, I thought
Chris Rock did fantastic.
Yeah, he did great in that movie. It was just, you know, it's just that it's like, what, the 9th one or something? It's like, it's just, it's so old. Like the story, it's old. Like we get it. It's just the same thing over and over and over.
You know, it's funny because I was talking to a couple of my friends and they were going on a date night and they were like, we're gonna go see Spiral. Have you seen it? And I said, no. And I go, but my friend Sam saw it and she sent me her like little mini review of it. Let me read it. And it was like, this is terrible, blah blah blah. I forgot what you exactly said and everything. But they were like, you know, like they were going to go watch this. They're excited to watch it. And now I kind of ruined it for them, but I don't know if they saw it or not. You know,
okay, I was going to say, I'm curious to see if they like kind of agreed with that.
Yeah.
You should follow up.
I will ask them next time I see them. I'll say, hey, did you ever see Spiral? Did you watch something else?
Yeah. Cause I mean, you know, like we were talking about earlier, like it's all subjective. Like something that I think is like garbage, I mean, other people could be like, oh my God, it was the best. I mean, I think that they're wrong, but they can have their own opinion.
You're allowing people to have their own opinion. That's so sweet.
Yeah. They're right or wrong. They're allowed. So the funny thing is so when I was researching The Conjuring 3, I found that, so this is the second movie that was made about this case, about the 1981 Arne Johnson trial. So the first movie was called The Demon Murder Case, and it was released in 1983. And I had no idea, but Kevin Bacon starred in it. What? Like my mind was blown.
Now you need to see it.
I know, and I haven't seen it because it was a TV movie. It was like a made-for-TV movie by NBC. So
what's
it's like
it called again?
The Demon Murder Case.
I'm looking.
And apparently, I haven't seen it, but I was like reading some of the reviews, and a lot of the reviews were positive, and they were like, Kevin Bacon was fantastic in it. So now I'm like, okay. And I actually wrote, I made a note, and I wrote like, what the fuck? Because I didn't realize Kevin Bacon was in this movie. So now we have to watch this movie.
Well, I'm sending you the link to it on YouTube.
Yeah, let's watch it. Kevin Bacon. Yeah.
There you go. You've got the link to the Demon Murder Case, the full TV movie.
I mean, it was in 1983. That was the year that I was born. So, I mean, you know. That's probably why I never heard of it. Plus, it was a TV made movie, so whatever.
Yeah, but still, I mean, Kevin Bacon hadn't done Footloose, which you're wearing the shirt for yet. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, show off your bacon. But I mean, it was. I don't know. Like, that's interesting that there's another movie based on this particular case. I wonder if the Ed and Lorraine Warren were in like characters in that movie or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, the second I read Kevin Bacon, that's where it stopped. My research.
So so we keep talking about the movie, but there's something that we did not even talk about at all. And I think it's probably the worst part of this movie was the fucking lady that gave the people the curse. You know, the lady that started everything in this film that they ended up, she shot her dad and then they ended up killing her or whatever.
Are we talking
about? From the movie, Conjuring 3, the goddamn lady, the main killer, the fucking girl.
Yeah.
Everybody forgot about it because it's so fucking stupid.
Well, no. She kills her father randomly at one point. But I'm like, Like, how?
Joker was forgettable. Just
I mean, I forgot. I mean, I don't even remember. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Curse the people. So
I don't have any recollection. God.
Okay, so the
oh yeah.
Yeah, so
I remember.
It was interesting because it had a guy, you know, usually you have that, you usually do have that character who is there to give you information, you know, like he knows, you know, he knows the stuff or whatever. And so she goes to him again to get the Latin. And then he finally explains, okay, it was my daughter, you know, who's doing this, which is kind of fucked up that he didn't like do it to begin with. But then again, it was the beginning of the movie. You can't, you know, he can't tell her that now. Then all of a sudden she's, you know, they've solved the case, you know. Like,
the whole curse thing was just so stupid. Like the
like what? How did he break the curse though?
He broke the fucking altar with his like bare fists or whatever the fuck.
Now it's all no. He had an axe because he was trying to kill his wife.
Yeah. He had a weapon and he struck it in the middle and somehow he's fucking got like the strength of Captain America.
Well, because he was possessed. He was possessed at the time. Remember, or like he was like being because he wanted to kill his wife.
Yeah, he had the curse.
Yeah, so he had like you know curse powers or some crap. Yeah, curse you know what?
Powers.
I completely forgot. Like that was wiped from my mind.
Because it's so fucking bad. Like it was so dumb and so like there was no reason for it.
Well, when she blew that like sand in his eyes or whatever, dust or whatever it was, I was like, what the fuck? I thought she was just trying to blind him, but apparently that's how she gave him the curse.
Was walking across the hallway and right. That was a little bit cool, but it's like you know what a normal person would do? It's like when I was watching the Harry Potter movies. I'm like, just fucking stab them. Like she could just ran up and just stab him. Boom. There you go. But no, instead you gotta do something silly like blow shit in his eyes.
Right. I don't know. It was such a silly movie period, but at times. But I liked it. I enjoyed it. I don't know. It's something I'd probably watch again, you know. Well, it's okay, you know. And that's the beautiful part of everybody having their own opinions, you know.
Although, watch The Conjuring 2 again, because I swear to God, I thought I was like, oh, my favorite scene in The Conjuring 2 is when the nun comes out of the painting, and I'm like, oh, wait, I don't think I was in The Conjuring 2. I was like, that was in one of the Annabelle movies.
Was it? No, I think it was. I think the nun was in. No,
the nun is in The Conjuring 2, but that's not... That scene, what I'm thinking of, is when she creepily comes out of the painting and then runs at Lorraine. Like, that's not The Conjuring 2.
Was that, like, Annabelle Comes Home, then?
Yeah, it was one of the Annabelle movies, I think.
Because I think Annabelle Comes Home is the only one that has Ed and Lorraine in it. Because the other ones are just fixated on Annabelle herself. You know?
This is about the kids.
Right. So like that.
Oddly, the daughter was oddly missing in this film. Unless it took place before or after. Or I don't fucking know.
Well, there's also that one character that was in all three of the Conjuring movies, and I don't remember him in the other two movies. I forgot what his name is. But he was kind of the guy that helps Ed out, you know. And they're talking, they're trying to figure out where to go or whatever. And I forgot what his character name is in the movie or whatever. But I know the guy's actual name is Shannon Cook.
Well, call him.
I mean, this movie is so unforgettable. I mean, it's weird because, like, I can say that I like, because I do. I mean, I did enjoy it, but also in my defense, I don't really remember The Conjuring 2 either. So, I mean, you know, but I did just recently watch this one. So I should have remembered that whole storyline and I completely forgot about it. But it was so boring. It was like unmemorable.
Okay, Drew. There was a character, Drew, that was in all three of the movies. I guess he was some kid, you know, but I don't remember. Like, he all of a sudden shows up and is helping the Warrens out. And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, I don't remember him from the first two movies. Apparently he was in all three of them. So I don't know. It's just weird. He was like, he was a kid. So I'm guessing he started off in the first one as a kid. And then, you know, he's growing up or whatever, helping out.
As in the Marvel's Endgame or whatever, after Tony dies and you see this one kid crying and you're like, who the fuck is that kid? And then you realize it's the random kid from Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I remember that. And like everybody, because they're trying to throw as many people in that one, you know, in that ending to kind of show Iron Man had so many people there. Honestly, okay, I guess we can give our review now, you know, that we have talked about it. So I'm going to start off and I'm just going to give it a B. You know, I thought it was fun, enjoyable, and I would watch it again. What about you, Sam?
I was going to give it a B too, but now I think I got to downgrade it to a B minus since I completely forgot like half the main plot. I mean, it was enjoyable while I watched it, but obviously it was not memorable.
I think you can give a guess what I'm about to give.
An F? A D?
A total F.
Really? What'd you rate it on? Yeah.
I don't know. I think I get, I don't know. It's on my phone. I think I got a one or maybe a two out of five.
Okay. So that'd be a D, right?
No. 2 out of 5 would be 40%.
Oh, really? I thought 3 out of...
Yeah, because 2 out of 5 would be 4 out of 10. And 4 out of 10...
Well, no, but if we're doing letter grades, though, since there's 5 letter grades, yeah, it would be like something.
But are we going, like, school? Like, A is 90.
Listen, we're not math
B,
people
B
here.
Is 80s. That's how I consider it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. So if you're gonna say 40%, it would be an F, you know.
Yeah, you would fail.
Yeah, you would fail. 60% is always a D.
40%, it's not saying like the thing about an F though, that makes it sound like I completely hated it. But if you hear a 4 out of 10, you're like, okay, it's not completely, because in my opinion, a 5 out of 10 is like an okay movie. So this is like less than just a movie that I thought was okay. It's bad, but it's not like, it's not.
So it'd be a D then, because that's like not passing, but it's not failing. So like a D.
I mean, I'd never watch it again.
Oh, I mean, I would never watch again. I mean, there's certain movies that you can, like, for me personally, like Twister, I could watch a million times, but you know, there's certain movies that like, while I enjoyed, I don't ever have to watch again.
Right.
Although apparently I need to watch it again because I don't remember half of it.
No, I mean, you don't need to watch it again because, like, other than this show, you're never really going to talk about it much, you know?
Right. I never see in a conversation somebody being like, hey, you remember Conjuring 3? My life would come to this. Thank God I rewatched it.
Or Conjuring 2. I mean, I did tell Derek earlier when I was researching this movie, I was like, God, I was like, I gotta watch the Conjuring 2 again because I just don't really recall it very much.
So I guess you'll probably have to watch it again if you do Conjuring 4, you know, for Harville and Coffee.
I mean, in Conjuring 1, the only thing you really need to know is like the hands that clap that scare you on the trailer. Like, that's what I remember of The Conjuring.
See, I never saw the trailer. So when I saw that part, I was like, ah.
And see, the trailers ruined so many jump scares. Like, I bet the people, like the creators of the movie, like hate it.
I remember just, yeah, no, as a filmmaker, I hate when distributors make trailers that spoil everything. Fucking sucks, but it's like, what sucks is usually that's the most interesting parts of the movie, though, right? Is when the gore's happening, when the thrilling happens, but that ruins who it happens to and what happens usually.
Well
speaking of which, like, you know, Mrs. Claus, I think I remember the trailer for that going, wow, I pretty much saw like the movie, you know. And that sort of sucks.
Mrs. Claus, like, there's literally not, like, there's not much that goes on besides the killing. The whole movie is basically like, you know, there's not too much in terms of like any much else, you know, like those are the interesting parts, and it doesn't last long either.
Right.
It's like it shows up and then after that you're dead, but it's just the kills are so consistent, it keeps it from getting, you know, too boring, hopefully.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I want to thank you guys once again for doing the show with me. We are going to be doing this. I think like our plan is to try to do it twice a month if we can, depending on schedules and everything. I think for the first in July, it'll be up on Fridays, but I think in August, it'll get switched to Tuesday. So that's the plan for now. If something changes, we never know. You know, we didn't even know we were going to do this. We're just like, do you want to do another show? And
I need to see your post on the amusement park. So you got a lot of shit about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a post right after this about amusement park. And everybody who denies me, I'm just going to. He'll say, stop sucking Romero's dick. He's dead.
I already feel like hater is coming out. You said that and like everyone, what?
Well, I mean, I'm going to say something and a lot of people are going to hate this. I'm not a Romero fan. Like, I'm just not, you know? Like, I don't like zombies. So it took me a long ass time to like go watch all of Night of the Living Dead. But I appreciate Night of the Living Dead for what it was, just the same as I guess I appreciate the amusement park for what it was. Mm-hmm. But I don't like it. You know, it's not a movie I want to watch all the time. I have the Criterion version of it. So I have like the best version, I guess you can get of that movie.
I mean, it shows you that if you want to become famous, just die.
I have a bunch of movies that you
he didn't become movies. Super ultra famous until after he died. No, that's a fact. I mean
he started being known, like at least he I would never say he was ever ultra famous, but he became known sort of.
Yeah, known, but much more after he passed away.
I say Land of the Dead was his high point. When all fans knew who he was.
You know, and people like there were people who he had a cult following. People love like the Crazies and Martin and all those.
I 70s. Love Martin was amazing.
Well, and yeah, the guy from the amusement park was in Martin as well.
Yeah. Right.
So I mean, people love his films. You know, absolutely.
Have you seen Martin?
No, I've never seen Martin yet.
It's really interesting. You don't know whether the guy's a vampire or just crazy the entire movie.
Sounds like, what's that vampire movie with Vampire's Kiss with Nicolas Cage?
I say it's a lot less silly.
So it's the real version of that, you know, like not the goofy version.
Well, then again, I saw it when I was like a teenager, so it probably, you know, it might not hold up. But when I saw it, I remember it's on YouTube for free. So if you want to watch it, because there's like rights that are easy with it.
Well, I'll probably check it out.
I loved it. That used to be my favorite Romero flick.
And maybe it'll be mine. Like, maybe, like, that will be it, you know, because I really haven't seen all of his films. I've seen most of the zombie films. I did not like Dawn of the Dead, and everybody loves it. I went to the mall, right? You know, my friends and I actually were there. We were, I think, in Pittsburgh or whatever, and so we went to the mall that, you know, Dawn of the Dead took place in, and we were walking around and I just didn't feel anything, you know, like it didn't do, you know what I mean? Like I go to Red Bank, New Jersey, and I go see all the Kevin Smith places and I'm at home, you know? And so I think that's the same feeling people get when they go to that mall, you know, who are like horror fans, like Romero fans. I'm not, which is fine, you know?
I think the difference is the mall also, there's nothing recognizable in the mall anymore compared to the film.
I think it's just the idea a lot of people have of like going to that mall and just walking around, you know?
I always wanted to go.
You haven't gone to it yet?
Nope.
Well, I see a trip at some point in your guys' future, you know?
I hate malls.
Really?
I know. Listen, although Kevin Bacon was born in Pittsburgh, that's his hometown. So Yeah, while I'm a girl, I didn't get that girl shopping gene unless it's for food. Like, I love groceries.
Right. No. And I don't mind malls as long as like I'm going there for a reason, you
Like,
know?
I'll probably food court if I'm ever at a mall.
Yeah. Like if I go like was it a Hot Topic or something, you know, or whatever, you know.
Or Spencer's. Remember old school
That's
Spencer's?
this we still I think we still have one in my mall, like
We
that's
still have like vibrators. It's really weird.
yeah.
Spencer, me as a teenager, was the place where I went and got like my black light posters that were
Right.
felt and like
Yeah.
my glow in the dark beads and like the glow in the dark
That's where you
stars.
got all your teenage angst out of.
Yeah, and now they sell vibrators and dildos, and I'm like, what happens?
Shot glasses and shit.
Yeah, like
All
everything's like pot leaf and sex and drugs.
right. I'm like, this is not what I remember.
Well, there you go. So if anybody wants to go to Spencer's, you can get your dildos there.
Yeah, and they probably glow in the dark, so be careful. It won't be discreet.
You won't lose it at least.
This is true.
Or is
Well, I
that
mean,
is still match?
do people just use dildos in the dark like all the time or something anyway?
I mean, you light a candle. I don't know.
I guess it depends what kind and what the romantic setting is. Like I can imagine like, you know, a lady in the bathtub with candles, but I can't imagine what the person does who has that, like, what is it, like that 3 foot dong? Like I just
Nobody
imagine,
has a 3 foot
like I just
dong.
imagine them just listening to Thrasher music, just like just fucking windows wide open, not giving a fuck.
No, I don't know. I feel like most women these days, like, they don't got time to like run a bath and light candles. They're just like, all right, 1 minute Pornhub, let's go. And then boom, they're done. Then they go do the dishes or some shit.
That's the
Well,
American woman for you now.
let's get some lasagna.
We all got
All right.
phones for.
I hope they're washing their hands after, you know, before they cook their dinner.
No, people poop with their phones, so you know.
That's true. So anyway, we're
Yeah,
gonna.
and that's why I'm blessed to see my phone. It's like, you know, I poop with that thing, right? Or when somebody at She wants to show you something on their phone and they
Yeah.
want you to hold it. And it's like, I know you poop with your
Well,
phone.
and it's funny too, because a lot, I mean, I would say like a lot of like women's like most prettiest, greatest selfies, they're taking a shit on the toilet.
Yeah.
I'm letting the secret out, ladies.
Oh, God. Now it's going to make me like
Next
look
time,
at things differently.
yeah, next time you see some hot girl's profile picture, just think she's probably taking a shit.
Look at the background.
I don't know though. Like, if they're just taking a shit, I don't know if they'll be like so into tune. Like, hey, this is when I should take the selfie.
Yeah, no, it that's when we get bored. We get bored on the toilet. So what do? We take pictures of
Well,
ourselves.
this is the final episode of Poor Blood Topic.
This is like the least gross thing I think we've talked about. We're being real.
This is
Kind of
about
real.
normal for us, you know, honestly. You know,
Well, I want to take a shit and y'all are using my phone.
Right? Derek needs his phone so he can go take a shit.
Yeah, it all
I
goes back.
Right. All right. Well, thank you guys. This has been awesome. I really appreciate this. And everybody who's listening, just keep tuning in with us. I mean, we'll be back next month with some more fun stuff. I don't know what we're doing exactly, but whatever's the hot movies that are out at this time, you know, or whatever.
Also, head over to our Facebook page, leave us some comments, and we'll say some shit about you on our next one.
Yeah, let us know what you guys are enjoying. Yeah, we'll talk shit about you you know, on our next podcast, you know.
Yep. He's been
We'll talk about you.
yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Isn't it just sweet?
Keeping
Yeah.
it real. Yeah.
All right, well,
Dustin Parker. I really want people to talk shit about me.
it's better to talk shit than be shit.
That's true. All right. So on that note.
Yep. It's all we always leave you guys on
Right.
such a great note.
I know. I'm wondering.
All right, Derek, the poop is coming. I think we got to go.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later. So... I'll talk to everybody later. Have a good night. Bye.
All right, bye, everybody.